And I want you to know something. God loves you. And I say, well, Pastor, that's Sunday school material. It is. But I want you to know something else. God answers your prayers. God knows the desires of your heart, doesn't he? Let me read you a verse. You don't need to turn there. He said, Paul said in Romans 9, 2, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He's talking about Israel. He says in verse 1 of chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Psalm 37, 4, which is one of the verses that I like an awful lot in the Bible, says this. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There's a two-part statement there. Where is your delight? If your delight is in the right place, God will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. So watch what happens here. In Acts chapter 28, Paul finally has arrived in Rome, and rather than being thrown into a damp, dark, cold, smelly prison, they have allowed him freedom to come and go. He's being escorted. He is under arrest, but he's given a lot of freedom. And so let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word, and I'll read to you what happens here. I'll begin reading in verse 17. It's a little bit of a long passage, but bear with me. We'll go all the way down to verse 31. So Paul's in Rome, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, he's talking about us, by the way, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their ears and hear with their ears, see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. I like these last 4 words. No man forbidding him. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight we realize that the Bible is very clear that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We also know that the Bible is inspired, and the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So, Lord, as we look at this story, this account of the last that we know about Paul's life, There's some exciting things to see here. He's not locked up by himself in a small cell, but he is in a hired house. How can that be? We know you did that. And he is allowed to have visitors, and he's allowed to preach. And in fact, no man forbids him that freedom that he has so long desired, that he could present the word of God to people, is now being fulfilled in this passage, and we thank you for that. I know that you did these things because you love Paul, and you were allowing him to see some results for the desires of his heart, to see some things that he longed for so greatly. And Lord, tonight I trust that maybe each of us here would examine ourselves. God, please give us the desires of our heart. Not give us what we want, but make our desires be what they ought to be. Pray that you would change our desires if they're faulty. And God, we ask you, we plead with you for that, that one day when our life comes to an end, we could look back and we could see that our desires were centered on God and that you used us. Please, tonight, open our eyes. Give us some understanding and some encouragement, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Right before church tonight, I sent an email to Stephen Harris, our missionary to Mexico, to let him know we're praying for him. Please do. He's in Magdalena, about a little over an hour and a half, maybe south of Nogales, and he is down there. He's in his letter that he wrote, and Mark will read this to us here sometime soon. He said they were running their bus route. They have a van route. They don't have a big bus like we've got. They've got a van. They were running their van route, and he said they came to a drug cartel roadblock. But the drug cartel knows who everybody is, and they know who Stephen Harris is. They know he's a Baptist missionary. They know he's down there planning a church, and they know why he's there. And they don't mess with him. In fact, I've told some of you this story, but some of you haven't heard it. One time, a fellow threatened his life, called him on the phone and said, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you and your wife and your children." And some time passed, and of course, he was concerned about that and took some action. But anyway, some time passed. He got another phone call from the cartel. They said, "Don't worry about that fellow that threatened you. We've taken care of him." And you know what happened. They took care of him. But he was driving his van route, and he said they came to the roadblock, and they saw who it was and let him through. Yeah, go ahead. Picking up children or adults to go to church, amen? I can tell you, this is not a message about Stephen Harris, but he is a good example. He's a fellow that wants to see souls saved. He loves the people in Mexico, and he wants to see them find Christ, and he has been faithful down there since, wow, I'm trying to remember what year he got there, but he's been there at least 10 or 12 years now, and maybe 15, I don't remember for sure, but he's been down there a long time, and he'll stay there until God moves him, or until the Lord takes him home. He's got that same spirit that Paul had. He just wants to see God save souls. And so, here, it's not a surprise to me at the end of Paul's life, rather than, I mean, think about this. You got arrested by the Roman government. You were shipped off had a shipwreck to get there, but you were shipped off to Rome, and you're there to, as a Jew, to be judged by a Gentile, Caesar, and he is not the nicest guy on earth, by the way. I'm not sure who the Caesar was then, but I think it was Nero. And so Paul is there. And what would you expect? I would expect they'd throw you in jail and maybe feed you once in a while and make you suffer. What's this hired house stuff? How do you get a hired house if you're a prisoner of Rome? Well, God took care of that, didn't he? At the end of Paul's life, when it could have been very miserable, God says, "No, I'm going to bless this fellow." Isn't God good? We talk about the blessings of God all the time. Now, just like Paul, you will go through trials and tribulations. There'll be some heartaches. And I'm not going to guarantee that you're all going to have a hired house before you die. But I will tell you this, God knows our desires, and he loves us, and he will use us if we want to be used. And that's exactly what's happening here. So let's just look at this a little bit deeper and talk about what all is going on. Paul really wanted, according to Romans 10, he says, "My heart's desire is for Israel that they might be saved." He really wanted to reach the Jews. And so here we go in verse 17. He's only been in town 3 days, and the Bible says he called the chief of the Jews together, and he speaks to them, and I won't go into all that yet, but it's kind of interesting to me, and I won't read it to you again, but Can you believe, not just he has his own hired house, but when he talks to them and he says, tells them who he is, they say, well, we don't know a thing about this. In other words, you'd have thought somebody would have sent a letter to Rome saying, hey, this fellow Paul's on the way and he's nothing but trouble. He's causing, they'd lied about him and they'd falsely accused him. No letters came. And not only that, but the Jews that had come traveling around the empire had come from Jerusalem or from Judea or from Israel to visit Rome. They didn't say anything about him either. I get a kick out of that. God protected Paul's reputation so that when he came to Rome, at the end of his days, his last part of his life, he didn't have to face all that nonsense that he had been facing for the rest of his life where the Jews hated him. And what do these fellows say to him? They say, hey, we haven't heard a thing. Nobody's written us. He says in verse 21, they say, we haven't received letters out of Judea. Nobody that visited here spake of you. And look at verse 22. I sure like this. We desire to hear. Isn't that exciting? Don't you like to come across somebody that desires to hear? You think nobody desires to hear. Somebody did. Brother Hill, today, did somebody desire to hear? Amen. You and I don't have a right to assume that nobody wants to hear, because some folks do want to hear. And so, you go and you tell, and that's what we do. We hand out tracts, we witness, and so on. They desired to hear. You say, well, that's just an isolated case. Look at verse 23. It says, they appointed him a day, and there came many to him. Not just some desired to hear, but apparently many desired to hear. And then I'm looking at this. They came into his lodging. Sounds like a kind of a big house, doesn't it? A bunch of them can be there. When we lived in Maryland, we had a military fellowship that met once a month, and we would take turns going to different people's houses, and it was our turn to do it. And we had a nice house, but no big rooms in the house. We had no big rooms, a lot of little rooms. And so I remember one Sunday afternoon, we were in the biggest room that we had, and we were crammed in there. I think there were about 15 of us, and you could hardly breathe. It was just packed out, you know. And you get 15 or 20 people in there, you couldn't hardly move. He's got a bunch of folks in his house. He must have some room, amen? Sounds like a decent place to live. Look how good God's been to him. Oh, it gets better. They desired to hear. Many came. Look at the end of verse 23. It says, I'll read more of that. It says, he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Now, you might say, well, he's trying to persuade them. No, we're going to see later on he was successful. Persuading them. And folks, that's the key. The question is, who is the Lord Jesus Christ and what pays for sins? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God the Son. He's the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is the Creator. All things were made by him. He was present in the creation. He said, God said, let us make man on our own image. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Psalm 23, the Bible says, the Lord is our shepherd. That's Jehovah. In John chapter 14 or 10, I'm sorry, Jesus said, I'm the great shepherd. Folks, Jesus is God. Amen. The deity of Christ. And what pays for sin? Paul said to the Corinthians, I declare unto you the gospel. Christ died and buried and was rose again the third day. We won't go through the whole Romans road right now, but he says in Romans chapter 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. He says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad you called? Amen? So, here we go. He is expounding, he's testifying, he's talking about who Jesus is. He uses the Old Testament law of Moses to prove that. And then it says he did it from morning till evening. A full-time occupation. Paul, what do you do all day? I talk to folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think they were coming and going. That's kind of nice. Now, if you would have asked Paul somewhere in his life, Paul, what is your heart's desire? He said to see Israel saved, and now these folks are coming and going and coming and going. And all day long, he's talking to these folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think this guy was, I don't know where this statement came from, but we say hog heaven. I think this guy is just as happy as he can be. This is the very thing he's always wanted in his life. His heart's desire is being met. God is giving him the opportunity to reach these people. And isn't God good? So his story ended as he has hope. In verse 20, he says he's bound for the hope of Israel. He has hope for the people who had hated him. They were the source of all of his troubles. They were the ones that had persecuted him and tried to kill him. They're the reason the Israelites are the reason the Jews, in jail in Rome, is because when the Romans would have let him go, the Jews threw such a fit, he had to appeal to Caesar. The people that hurt him the most, the people that hated him the most, are the people he's trying to reach. I'm going to look at a verse this coming Wednesday or the one after that. In Romans, it talks about overcoming evil with good. It says, be not overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. And that, you can think of that in a generic sense and not get much out of it, but here's what it means. When someone tries to hurt you, don't let that stop you. Don't let that be the deciding factor. Instead of letting the hurt that they did towards you be the deciding factor, let your good and God's good be the deciding factor. And try to help them. Try to reach them. Paul could have said, these stinking people have persecuted me my whole life. They have falsely accused me. They have hounded me. They have tried to kill me. They've plotted against my life. I don't want anything to do with them. And that's not what he said. He said, my heart's desire is that they would be saved. And now God's letting him see some of them get saved, isn't he? So he is reaching out to, hoping for the people that hated him. Then he's taking time for the people that he cared for. We saw in verse 23, morning till evening. Look at verse 24. I sure like the first part of this verse. Some believed. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Some folks got saved. Jews? Yeah. Gentiles, I'm sure. That's as good as it gets. Here we sit, and I hope everyone here has trusted Christ as their Savior. Have you done that? When you believed on Him, the Bible says your faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Don't think that you have to work your way to heaven. Some believed. Well, verse 24, some believe not. Folks, you can't reach everybody. You wish you could. You wish they would all listen. How sad that is. It breaks your heart. I think what breaks my heart the most, I drive this bus on Sunday morning. We drive up to this one house, and Carlos will know right where this is. They've got a little dog. And this little dog, he was hurt. His foot was all messed up. It's better now. And the little dog hates Carlos. He really gives Carlos a hard way to go. The little dog's about that tall and about that long. And Carlos just goes in the gate anyway. But when we get back on the bus after that stop, we're driving down on the left-hand side. There's a house with several children there, and they will not let their children come on the bus because they're Catholic. We're Catholic. And no, we're not going to let you go to a Baptist church. And it breaks my heart because I want to see those kids get saved. How are they going to get saved if they never can come and hear the gospel? The Catholic Church isn't going to give them the gospel. Catholic Church is going to lie to them. And some folks believe not. And it's sad. And it doesn't matter if it's your worst enemy. When you see him cast into hell, you're going to grieve over it. It's a sad, sad thing. Some believe not. But did Paul quit? No. They agreed not among themselves in verse 25. They departed. And so Paul quotes Isaiah, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but Isaiah had prophesied this and saying that these people are not all going to hear. And so in verse 28, he says, I just want you to know that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. Oh, I like this next phrase in verse 28. They will hear it. He was talking about you. We heard it. And when he says hear it, it doesn't just mean it was noise in your ear. It means it got to your heart. You listened and you believed it You heard it, you believed it, you applied it, you got saved. Amen? They will hear it. That's exciting. And what a great, great way to end your life with things like that. So in verse 29, he had said these words, the Jews departed, and they had great reasoning among themselves, and I think this went on for a while. We don't know how long, but it didn't. Well, it says right there in verse 30, 2 years at least, that he was in his own hired house. So how did Paul's story end? He had hope for the people who hated him. We saw that in verse 20. He had took time for the people he cared for, and he used the opportunities that God gave him. And now I'm looking at his last two verses here, the last two verses in the book of Acts. He dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Wonder how much you can get done in 2 years when folks are coming every day. Amen? I think he saw some success there. I don't have any doubt about it. People were getting saved. And you kind of wished it would have gone on, but 2 years is nice. And what did he do in verse 31? He preached the kingdom of God and taught those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Let's break that down and we'll finish this thing up tonight. He preached the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not the church. The kingdom of God is the fact that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for all eternity. He's the king, and there's no other king, King Jesus. And preaching that, but I like that next phrase. He says, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you never can learn too much about the Lord Jesus. I can prove that. The Bible says in Romans that we, you and I, are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Are you there yet? No. Are you getting closer? Yeah. Because here's the story, folks. We haven't learned enough yet. God isn't finished with us yet. I think of Mrs. Spencer, our teacher, in her mid-60s, and she's going to step into eternity in the next couple of days. And she was a godly woman. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. Dolman? Loved the Lord. Her and her husband suffered a lot with illness, and they never owned a house. They lived in an apartment, and they didn't have a whole lot. His health was horrible. He had cancer. His face is disfigured from the times he's been operated on to remove cancer from his head. And when I look at those people from a worldly perspective, I think they don't have a lot to be happy about. I mean, they're not rich. As if that would make you happy, it won't. Their health has been terrible. They've just come one step at a time through life, serving God. He speaks Spanish, and so they help out in a Spanish ministry in a church here in town. But he's weak because of his health, and he has a hard time. And Mrs. Spencer would often ask us to pray for him, that he just had the strength to be able to speak on Sunday when he needed to speak. And all the things they went through. But you know, they're the happiest people I know. Positive outlook. Not complaining. Not quitting. You might think about it like this. Why would we quit? Why would we stop? Paul didn't stop. Mr. Spencer didn't stop. Mrs. Spencer didn't stop. Stephen Harris hadn't stopped. I could name some other folks I know that have been through some hard times. Keep on going. Because their desire is to serve God. Their desire is to please the Lord and to see souls saved and to preach the gospel and tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they just keep on going. Paul kept on preaching about Jesus. And he's what matters. Amen? Not some crazy prophet that somebody imagines or whatever, but the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this next phrase in verse 31, with all confidence. Isn't it good to know the truth? We take that for granted. We got a Bible. I talked about it this morning a little bit. And that Bible tells us what the truth is. And I have no doubt about it whatsoever. What the Bible teaches, that's the truth. Right. And like we saw this morning in Isaiah chapter 8, if they don't speak according to this book, it's because there's no light in them. But Paul, he had this book and he knew it well. And so he's confident. That's not just confidence in what he's saying. He's confident because the Lord's with him. Is the Lord with you? Oh, I got a verse for you. He'll never leave you or forsake you, Hebrews said. So that's confidence right there. And then the love of God gives us confidence, because when I can see, already you can see some miraculous things God's done for Paul because he loves him. He does things for us too. Oh, we spent the whole day. We started out this morning talking about Israel crossing the Red Sea. Wow, can't God do great things for his people? And then we saw Isaiah and some things he had to say and what God was going to do. That was a little darker. That was some judgment, but God did some things for Isaiah. And now here we see the things God's done for Paul. Don't you think God's going to do some things for you and I? For our churches? For our families? Don't give up. God's not done yet. No man forbidding him. It's about to get hot. And there's going to be a time this summer when you're going to be outside. We go visiting on Tuesday nights, and I remember when I first got here six years ago, coming up on 7 years, we'd go out, and I'd say, it's not so hot outside. This is not too bad. We look at the thermometer, it's 95. That's because in the summertime, it doesn't get below about 110 even at night. But doesn't it feel good when it's really warm outside to walk into just a fan that blows refreshing air on you? And it's just that relief from the oppression, I guess, of the heat. You're out in the heat and you come into a cool room and there's a fan blowing. It just feels good. You realize what kind of life Paul had? His whole life, people chased him. They tried to stop him. They lied about him. They threw a fit. He preached at Ephesus and they threw a fit and yelled, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," and they don't want to hear what he has to say. And now look what God has done. All this is just things God did for Paul. At the end of his life, nobody stopped him. He had free course. You ask one of our missionaries, would that make you happy? Oh, you bet it would. Wouldn't it be great to know there's no resistance? Just tell them about Christ. We don't know what resistance is compared to what these folks endured, like Paul. So he used this opportunity that God gave him, and he kept on using it. And that's the end of the book. Say, what happened to Paul? I'll tell you exactly what happened to Paul. He stepped into the presence of Christ. How? I don't know that. Tradition tells us he was a martyr. Okay. The Bible's quiet about that. And when the Bible is silent, we should be also. If the Bible doesn't say, don't worry about it. This is the last thing God's got to say about him in terms of chronology in his life. Now, you can learn a lot more about him by reading his letters. But as far as the history of his life, that's the last thing the Bible says. No man forbidding him. And I don't know how he died. I don't know if he was executed. I don't know if he just fell asleep one night. It doesn't matter. I don't know, I don't care so much, and the Bible doesn't record how he died. You know what the Bible records? How he lived. Amen? So that when he died, he stepped into the presence of Christ. And if anybody ever heard these words Paul did, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen? We're all going to stand there one day. We're going to stand there having lived this life and having used it the way we chose to use it, and what we did with our money, what we did with our time, what we did with our health, what we did with our talents. All those things will be considered. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. Paul didn't have to worry about that. He served God. We know how he lived his life. We know how his life ended up to this point. And after that, it doesn't matter, really. Whether he was martyred or not, the way he lived his life is what matters. Because like I said before, either you live your life for God or you die for God, but either way, you belong to God. Well, you say, well, Pastor, what do you do with all this? Well, for one thing, I think you've got to agree with me, Paul's life had a good ending, didn't it? It was a good life. It's a good end. It was well spent. He was looking forward, not looking back. He didn't have any regrets, I don't think, except perhaps his persecution of the churches, and he mentioned that. He said he was the chiefest of sinners, but he just kept on forging ahead for the cause of Christ and for eternity. Instead of remembering what he had gone through, what he had done, and he wouldn't have expected this kind of freedom that he had, and he wouldn't have expected this kind of an opportunity, but when he got it, he used it. And so the question is this: what are we doing with what God's given us? You see what Paul did with what God gave him. Do you have time? We have more free time than people have ever had in the history of the world. We have devices to do everything. They wash our dishes. They wash our clothes. They dry our clothes. They cook our food. We have a microwave. You can have dinner in a minute or less if you're really excited about doing something like that. And we have so much time. Do we give any time to God? Amen? We are the wealthiest nation on earth. Not a person in here tonight who's not got enough money for food. And if you do, I guarantee you, somebody will take care of you. We have cars. We have homes. We have church buildings. We have our health. We have a great health system. They keep an eye on us. They check our blood. Not always giving us the best answer we want, but they know things about us to help us that we never knew before. My daughter called me 2 weeks ago, and she said, "Dad, I have high cholesterol. It's your fault." Yeah, I know. Get on statins like I am. They're a miracle. They'll keep you from dying of a heart attack. All the things. You see, when Paul obtained these things, he did not say, "I'm 60-something years old. I've served God through thick and thin for decades. I think I'll take it easy." Isn't that what he said, is it? You know, here's what he said. "Come over to my house and I'll tell you about Jesus. Come over to my house and I'll show you out of the Old Testament and the New, he's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's salvation. He's everything. Come over to my house and I'll tell you what the prophet had to say, and I'll tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and I'll tell you, I bet he told some folks about the road to Damascus and how the Lord appeared to him. He had a lot of good stories to tell, and he kept on telling them. And there's no record that he ever stopped. Got to keep on serving God till he calls us home. Amen? Take the opportunities God's given you, just like Paul took these opportunities, and use them to keep on serving him. That ought to be the plan. Someone says, "Well, I know what I'm going to do. When I reach a certain age, I'm just going to stop." That's not what Paul did. Someone says, "Well, once I get my own house and my own everything, I'm going to take it easy." That's not what Paul did. Keep on serving the Lord. Amen? Yep, what a great end of a life. And, you know, I'll just say this. It just came to my mind, and we'll be finished. It is possible. Solomon, King Solomon, is an example of this. It is possible to live a good life and mess it up at the end. It is possible to live a good life and mess it up at the end. Be very careful. Paul didn't have to worry about that. Paul's end of his life was good. Folks were getting saved. And then one day the Lord took him home. Until then, let's all keep on serving God. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand and pray.